blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 102, stanzas 1, 3, 4, and 5. In thy wrath and hot displeasure, chasten not thy servant, Lord. Let thy mercy without measure help and peace to me afford. 1, 3, 4, and 5 of Psalter 102. Scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in the Gospel according to Matthew, the 27th chapter, the first 26 verses. Matthew 27, verses 1 through 26. But first, we will read the Holy Law of God according to Exodus 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. And thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything, and that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. And thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, and the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Matthew chapter 27, verses 1 through 26. When the morning was come, all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself, and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? See thou to that. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple, and departed, and went and hanged himself. And the chief priest took the silver pieces and said, it is not lawful for to put them into the treasury, because it is the price of blood. And they took counsel and bought with them the potter's field to bury strangers in. Wherefore that field was called the field of blood unto this day. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, and they took in the 30 pieces of silver the price of him that was valued, whom they of the children of Israel did value, and gave them for the potter's field, as the Lord appointed me. Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, saying, art thou the king of the Jews? And Jesus said unto him, and thou sayest. And when he was accused of the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. Then said Pilate unto him, hearest thou not how many things they witness against thee? And he answered him to never a word, insomuch that the governor marveled greatly. Now at that feast the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner whom they would. And they had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ? For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. When he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, have thou nothing to do with that just man? For I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said unto them, whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you? They said, Barabbas. Pilate saith unto them, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all say unto him, let him be crucified. And the governor said, why? What evil hath he done? But they cried out the more, saying, let him be crucified. When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. Then answered all the people and said, his blood be on us and on our children. Then released he Barabbas unto them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. So far the reading of God's holy word. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty, all-knowing, and all-sufficient, and all-merciful God, who dwellest above and we upon thy footstool, and who beholdest the things that are done in the heavens and in the earth, and who sparest our lives, each one of us despite ourselves, and the iniquity and the sin that cometh forth from us day by day and moment by moment. Thou who bringest us again unto thy house of prayer, that we may hear what thou hast to say unto us out of thy holy word. Wilt thou not look upon us in this morning, as we have made ourselves to be, in all our sin and our guilt, but wilt thou open our eyes to see it, that we may feel something of our wretchedness in thy sight. Lord, thou knowest we do not see it of ourselves. And our eyes, they are so closed to see what our deep fall in our father Adam is, that we do say with those that we read of in thy word, what have we sinned against thee? And we put our religion and all our labors before thee. And we expect that thou shouldest give to us a blessing. And we see not that all our righteousnesses, they are as filthy rags in thy holy sight. Oh, open then our poor blind eyes. May it be for the first time or by renewal in this morning hour, that our hearts may abhor ourselves, and that we may be brought in dust and ashes before thee, that thy name may be set high, and that we may be abased in the dust, that thou may give us a show to us our rightful place, and that we may learn to cry out of our deep need. Oh, show to us, give us open eyes, give us understanding hearts. Lord, we are by nature dead, and we are by nature those who follow in the path of our father Adam, and who can lift himself out of that deep pit in which we have fallen, and by our own willful disobedience. So that we are in a need for a Savior and a Redeemer. And thou hast provided one, even in the time, and that may deliver out of that awful pit. But we have no need for him when we see not our wretchedness. We beseech thee then in this morning, that thou mayst so open our poor blind eyes, and that thou mayst give us to see our great need, and that out of that pit into which we have brought ourselves, that there may come a cry, that it may come up into the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. And when thou hearest, that thou mayest forgive, and that thou mayest come to deliver. When thy servant did begin to beseech thee, then the command was sounded in heaven, and that angel did go forth, so that he may come even unto the earth. And Lord, thou who art still alive, thou who hast granted that health and that strength and the raising from the dead, to those who were afflicted and sick, and those that were dead upon the earth. And thou whose power is given unto thee in heaven and in earth for the salvation of sinners, we beseech thee, O come unto us and unto our dear children. O hide no longer thy face from us, and that thy countenance may yet shine upon us, even though we least deserve it, that thy dear Son may be glorified in the midst of us, that our hearts might need him, and that our hearts might go out after him, that he may become precious to our souls, and that we may desire him, that we might run after him, and that we may flee from all the iniquity and the worldliness of this time and place, in which it is our lot to live with our children. Oh, turn us and we shall be turned. Save us and we shall be saved. And wilt thou give us on this thy holy day that blessed hunger and that thirst that thou plantest in the heart of thy children. And when we have left days without number, and when we have left that first love, which thou hast given in the heart of thy church, Lord, and we are so helpless to bring ourselves again,
But we beseech thee to draw nigh unto us in thy mercy, and come on thy holy day undeservedly from our side. Oh, that it may be a good day to be together, that it may be a good hour in thy house of prayer, that thy spirit may be feelingly and believingly amongst us, that we may be enabled by thy spirit to put away all this world for a moment, and that thou would draw us nigh unto thyself, that thou may open our poor blind eyes for the first time or by renewal, that in the life of thy church the eye may be open to look upon him who has so willingly put himself upon that cursed tree, that the dominion of sin may be broken in our life, and that the sight of him who has suffered and died, that the sight of him who has risen and ascended and may be sufficient to give strength to flee all the iniquity and transgression that our heart does seek after in this world, that an eye upon thee by a true and living faith and may cause the heart to flee from sin, and that it may draw nigh to thee in the secret chamber, to beseech of thee in spirit and in truth, that thou mayst stand on our right and on our left hand, that we may not only be forgiven, but that we may also be washed and cleansed, and that we may be renewed in the spirit of our minds, and that we may be brought to dwell in the blessed communion with thee, Lord, who has strength from our own side, and the company that cometh against us is too great for us. As Satan is too strong in his temptation, and the old man, he is still such a lover of this world, and a lover of that triple-headed enemy. And so it is alone thy strength that is able to give the victory in this warfare. Oh, we beseech it of thee, Lord. Oh, that thou may wash us and that thou may cleanse us, and that it may be our burden as we go over this world, and that we carry about with us a body of sin and death, that we may desire to be delivered therefrom, that we may go unto that place where sin will be no more, and that thou would so deliver us, and that we would no more grieve thee. Oh, that thou may wash then and cleanse us in that all-atoning blood. Seek us out with our dear children. Oh, that the name of thy dear Son, that he may become precious to each and every one of us, and that we may be given for a moment this morning to lift him up on high, that thy spirit may also come, to give that faith to look upon him, and that the eye may see him who is able to cleanse from all iniquity, and that thy children may be brought into that place where they may actually receive that cleansing, that they may know and feel that they are washed and that they are renewed, and that thy grace and thy spirit is bestowed upon them, that they may be given also to cry, Abba, Father, and that they might be given to know that they are reconciled unto a triune God. Oh, that the comfort that thou givest unto thy people, and that is so in thy holy word, that it may also be applied unto thy church. It is such a great comfort, and there is so much that thou hast merited for thy people. But they are so often so far from thee, and they need to be led step by step, and they have no desire to descend further into their own wretchedness. But Lord, open the blind eyes by renewal again, and that thou may lift them indeed out of that horrible pit and that miry clay. Look upon us then in this day. Be with us with thy spirit. Look upon all the afflicted ones, wherever that they may be. The young girl in the hospital, look on her in her place. Bring her soon home again. And wilt thou bless the means that are used for her recovery. And that thou may supply for all of us in all the weakness of mind and body. For we are but frail creatures. And we are like a moth. When our strength, that may be taken away just a little bit. Then it will be felt and it will be seen that we are those who are dying creatures, and that we have no strength, and that one step is there only between us and death. That we may be given by times to see and to feel it, in order that it may drive us, that it may draw us to seek our Maker and our Creator. Lord, we beseech thee for all the congregation, widows, widowers, and orphans, and all those that have special needs. Look on all those that are lonely. Look on families, parents, and children. Look on all those that have needs that are not known to others. And wilt thou be with us on thy day, and those also that are over the length and the breadth of the whole world, those that have not thy words and thy servants, over the length and breadth of this world, could it please thee to increase their number, help all elders and all those that are in vacant congregations, and that they may also bring thy word in the reading services, and that it may be felt and experienced in the midst of our congregations, that thou dost bless that old truth which we have been given even by our forefathers, that thou hast preserved for us and for our children. Give that our young people may have eyes to see it and a heart to love it, and that they may experience it in their soul, that they may never leave it world without end. We beseech it of thee. Take reasons out of thyself to forgive all our sins and to look upon us in thy mercy. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 184, stanzas 1, 7, 8, and 9. Save me, O God, because the floods come in upon my soul. I sink in depths where none can stand. Deep waters o'er me roll. 1, 7, 8, and 9 of Psalter 184 in the last collection today is for the building fund.
congregation, the salvation that we read of in God's Word, that is a salvation that is without money and without price. And that is, in the first place, so necessary. And that is, in the second place, such a great comfort for the true church of God. And why? Because the Lord Jesus declares that He has been anointed to preach the gospel to the poor. Thus, they are unable to pay that great debt that is lying upon them. And thus, even when it was not without money and without price, and when that salvation could not be declared as so utterly free, then it would only be for those who had somewhat on their own side that they could bring forward. Then it had only been for Arminius and for all of his followers. But now it is so completely different. And yet, the Apostle Paul writes to the Corinthians and he says, ye are bought with a price. And so, that salvation that was not altogether free for everyone. No, what is freely given to that true church of God, a great price has been paid for this. And with the Lord's help, we wish to consider something of this with you in this morning hour out of Matthew 27, the 26th verse. Matthew 27, verse 26. Then released he Barabbas unto them. And when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. So far the words of our text. Barabbas' substitute, first, standing with him in the place of judgment. Second, condemned with his righteous sentence. And third, scourged and crucified for his release. Barabbas' substitute, first, standing with him in the place of judgment. Second, condemned with his righteous sentence. And third, scourged and crucified for his release. Whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ? Who is speaking? That is Pontius Pilate. He is the procurator of Judea at the time of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he is now sitting upon this throne of judgment. And to whom is he asking this question? He is asking this question to that multitude that is standing before him, that is the multitude of the Jewish people. And of whom does this question concern? It concerns the Lord Jesus Christ and Barabbas. They are standing together before Pilate and before this multitude here in full view. Everyone can see them. No, not in reality. Because we know that Barabbas, he is in the prison. But what do we read about Barabbas? We read he is a notable prisoner. Notable, that means that everyone knows who he is. And then Pilate needs only to mention the name of this man, and then suddenly, as it were, everyone can see him. And Pilate, he is bringing him here to stand for a moment next to the Lord Jesus Christ in this judgment. How does this come about that Pilate is doing this? Well, Pilate is in a very, very great predicament. Pilate does not know what to do. Why do you not know what to do, Pilate? Can you not discern here the righteous from the wicked? Oh, it is not that. It is not that he cannot make a discernment. No, surely he knows that the Lord Jesus Christ is innocent, because we read here that he knew that for envy they had delivered him. And Pilate has also had the opportunity to question the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he has questioned him, children, what do we find? What did he find? He found that there was no fault in this man. No, there is no question in the heart of Pilate of the innocence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he has also received another testimony, even from his wife, who has been made so afraid in the night, when she has suffered many things of him in a dream. And then there is the superstitious heart also of this man. He does not know the truth. No, he is a man who serves the idol gods. Oh, there is no question, no, of innocence for him. But now these Jews, they are demanding the crucifixion of this man. Well, Pilate, then you know what you have to do, do you not? Is that judgment seat, is that not a seat that is given unto you by God himself? Must a judge then listen to the multitude? Must not a judge just do a righteous judgment regardless of the will of all of the people? Pilate, are you placed in that position that you are given in order that you may do as this multitude desires? Or are you placed in this position that you may do the command of the Lord? Must you not simply do justice? Must you not simply do judgment? Oh no, it is not a question of innocence, and it is really not a question of justice either. It is not a question of right and wrong for this Pilate. Why not? Because Pilate did not care about right and wrong either. Pilate was a man who was a wicked judge. But Pilate is full of superstition. And this man, he is for him very different. He has never seen anything like this before. This man, he speaks not when he comes not even to his own defense. And then that people, they make accusation against him. He says that he is the Son of God. He says that he is a king. All of this in that superstitious heart of Pilate that does make him fear. And not only so, but Pilate also despises these Pharisees and these scribes. He hates to give them their desire. Or he would like to mock with them. Then they are coming with these threatenings. If thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Although he would like he would like to stand above these people. And though he would like to show that he is the judge, that they are not the rulers, that he has all of the say, yet he fears this, that they come against him with. And he fears because this group, they have gathered themselves, as it were, into a mob. And he is afraid that there may be an uprising amongst this people, so that Caesar, he will not allow him to continue when he is not able to rule this people rightly. Congregation, if a man will be faithful in the office, then he has to lose his hold on all the other interests that he has in this world. And now in that predicament, Pilate hears something. He hears something that makes him glad. He hears something that gives to him a little hope. Mark writes this. And the multitude, crying aloud, began to desire him to do as he had ever done unto him. Pilate hears this, and that suits Pilate very well. Why? Because this may be able to deliver him out of his dilemma. What do these Jews mean? Well, we read, now at that feast, the governor was wont to release unto them a prisoner whom they would. That was a custom at the feast of the Passover. We do not know what the origin of this custom was. Certainly it is not from the law of Moses. It is not a law at all, actually. It says it was a custom. Maybe that was of Roman origin. Maybe that had to do something with the release of the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. But this is a wicked custom. It is a custom that stepped over the justice of God, that a man would not be brought to that right judgment, that his sentence would not be rightly carried out. Thus a wicked custom, and yet these Jews, and it was in a day when religion had declined very, very much, these Jews are demanding that this custom be carried out. They demand it as a right. And when they demand it, Pilate is relieved. Why is he relieved? Well, then there is a prospect through this wicked custom that he may escape out of this political dilemma that he is in. And thus we read here, Pilate says, "Whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ?" It is, congregation, in itself a mockery. Why? Because Pilate will put over against the Lord Jesus Christ in these moments a most wicked man. And what is Pilate doing when he does this? He is mocking. There is but a little time that has passed since the Lord Jesus was going up unto Jerusalem upon the colt, the foal of an ass. And then these Jewish people, they have cried out, "Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord." And thus this was to be that king of Israel. And now the world begins to mock. The world begins to mock with the people of the Lord. The world begins to mock with the Lord Jesus Christ himself. The Lord begins to mock with the king of that church. The world begins to mock with the expectation of God's true people. But he is also appealing unto the humanity of the people at the same time, as we read that he is setting him over against such a wicked man. And at the same time, then he is causing the Lord Jesus to be greatly humiliated. because who is this Barabbas? He is, we read, a notable prisoner. And what is he guilty of? He is guilty of insurrection. What is insurrection? That is rebellion. He has rebelled against the government. And he is probably the leader of this rebellion. And so there is such a great contrast, because who is it that is being set over against this Barabbas? That is the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we see that contrast in the rebellion of this Barabbas and the blessed obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he was so far from rebellion, but he was he that was so obedient unto his Father. He was he who said, it is my meat to do the will of my Father. And so we see here a great contrast. Barabbas, he is guilty of robbery. Barabbas, who is guilty of murder, set over against whom? Set over against the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, a robber, set over against one who gave himself as a gift, one who has taken the lives of others, as set over against him that was going to give his life for his church. Then there can be no greater contrast that is here set before this Jewish people by this heathen governor. And then he sets them over against each other, just as if they are now two equal parties from whom that people can choose one. Does not Isaiah rightly say that he was numbered with the transgressors? Whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ? What does Barabbas do? He is going to let the people decide the judgment, because he is afraid of these people. And in doing so, he sets aside all justice. In doing so, he sets aside his own office. In doing so, he pays contempt to the law. He is going to let the mob decide the case. And when the mob decides the case, he is going to put his own stamp of approval upon it. And he is going to use his office to make their decision legal. And so they stand together, the Lord Jesus Christ and Barabbas, over against one another in this judgment. And what do we see in our second thought? He is condemned with his righteous sentence. Whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you? They say, Barabbas. We read of the chief priests, they have gone in and out among the people. They have told the people what to answer, how to answer, actually how that they should vote. They persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. And so we see the blind leading the blind, and both falling together into the ditch. And now these Jews, they do not only reckon Christ with the transgressors, but they consider him worse than the worst of the transgressors. Peter says, ye denied the Holy One and the just, and you desired a murderer to be granted unto you. Say, how is it possible? How is it possible that the Jews can make such a decision? That is true. But congregation, do we need to look outside of our own heart when we see this decision that was made by these Jews? They say, Barabbas? Whom do we choose? What is our choice? What was our choice? What was the choice of our father Adam? Did he not also choose Satan over God? Did he not also choose this world over the salvation of the Lord? And whom do we choose? Do we not also choose the same as our father Adam? What remains our choice? Even unto this day, do we not choose him who has committed insurrection in heaven? What has he done? He has rebelled. He has rebelled against God. And we make him our choice. Or is that not so, young people? Is that not so? Or do you make your choice then, God, over against that rebel? Or do we not make our choice of this murderer from the beginning? Do we not make our choice of him who has and still desires to rob God of his creatures, of his honor, of his glory? Or we say, how is it possible that the Jews have made such a wicked choice? How is it possible that we make the choice that we do day by day? How is that possible? It is possible because for those Jews, when the Lord would leave them to themselves, then even reason that is not able to convince that people anymore. And congregation, it is also possible for us, even under the preaching of God's holy word, that we are able to continue to make that evil choice, even to the last breath of our life. That is possible because we are of ourselves dead. Because of ourselves, there is no desire after the Lord. It is possible because there is only one way that it should become different. And that is by the power of God's Holy Spirit. Do we ask for this? Is that our supplication upon our knees day by day? That the Lord would change that wretched and that awful choice of our heart. That is following, that is seeking, that is desiring that way of sin and vanity and carnality in this world. The governor answered and said unto them, whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you? They said, Barabbas. Pilate saith unto them, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all say unto him, let him be crucified. That is, congregation, a surprise for Pilate. Pilate, as this heathen governor, he did not think. Oh, when he has set these two over against each other, he did not think that the people would stoop so low as to make such a choice. Oh, when he could appeal only even to the emotion of that people, or could he appeal only to the pity that would lay in the human heart. Oh, he had not expected such an answer. Thus he says, why? What evil hath he done? He cannot understand it. Why? What evil hath he done? But they cried out the more, saying, let him be crucified. Who is able to fathom the suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ by the hands of his own people? He came unto his own, but his own received him not. That was not the Gentile world. No, this was the Jewish nation. This was the people that were promised this mediator of whom the fathers, they have spoken about time after time. This is that people that were given the promises. Oh, who is able to fathom when he has laid his blessed hands upon the sick and upon the lame and the blind and the deaf and the dumb, and that he has healed them all, who is able to fathom when he has gone from place to place, and they may receive the gracious words that have come out of his mouth. Oh, who is able to fathom that they had chosen rather to spare those hands which were stained with blood, who was such a threat to them, who was a threat to their children. Let him go out of the prison, who is guilty of insurrection, who is guilty of murder, who is a threat yet, that he will kill us. But when Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but rather that a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, "I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it." O congregation, who cannot see and that all this choice of this multitude is the work of Satan himself, that is to turn all justice upside down in this world, and yet Satan is not in control. Oh, when those disciples, when they have been anywhere near, and when they have been listening, oh, then they had thought that everything that was now given over into the hands of Satan. Do you sometimes think that too, people of the Lord? That it seems like everything that is now given over into the devil's hands, that everything goes exactly in that wrong way. Then you ask, is the Lord alive anymore? Does the Lord see anymore? Does the Lord hear anymore? Is the Lord not now the governor anymore of this whole world? Oh, then it cannot be seen by the people of the Lord, because the people of the Lord, they do not know what is the best for them. They do not know what is necessary for the salvation of their own soul. But everything that is so completely in the hands of the Lord, everything that is taking place step by step, that has all been in the counsel of the Lord from that never begun eternity. Oh, the devil, he is accountable. And this Jewish people, they are also accountable. But God, he is doing it. Oh, he is in control of it. What do we read? God the Father, Paul says, he spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. And what do we see here when we come to watch this judgment take place? That the Lord Jesus Christ, to the marveling even of the governor, he is not opening his mouth. He is not coming to his own defense. He is not preventing anything from taking place that has to take place. Can he, children? Do you believe he has the power to do it? He spoke one word. I am he. And what happened? And they all fell backward to the ground. He has the power to do it. He did not do it. He did not want to do it. And why did he not want to do it? Because he wanted to do the will of his Father. And now Pilate, he does not care for judgment, and he doesn't care for justice. But that superstitious, that fearful heart, and also yet in him is a conscience. And now he was going to try to rid himself of his accountability. His accountability. And what does he do? He washes his hands. He takes water and he washes his hands in the sight of all the people. And he says to the people, this is not lying on me. This lies on you. What do you think? Is that so now? Because he washed his hands. That now that lays on the people. No, that is not so. It did lay on that people. Yes, it did. But he cannot, and you cannot, and I cannot, rid ourselves of our accountability. Who gave it to us? When I am a father, no matter what my children desire, I have to give an answer. Thus, that accountability I cannot give over to my children. And when we are a consistory, then there are some decisions that we have to make. That accountability we cannot give over to our members. And when we are a judge, then we cannot give the accountability for the decision into the hands of the people. We can say we do it, but God, he will require it still from us. No, Pilate, you can wash your hands and you can pretend that you have no guilt in this matter, but your guilt that still remains before the Lord. But there is much more in this than guilt, because here we have another testimony added. Everything in the Word of God, that is all for the salvation and for the comfort of God's true church. And history tells us of the great wickedness of this governor of Pilate. Then we can read about the bribes and the plunder and the theft and the murder of the uncondemned. But this man still stands in an office. And that office that is given by God. And that man in his office as a judge, he has testified over and over again of the innocence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And congregation, there is really so much that is lying in this for that true church of God. When the judge declares the innocence of the Lord Jesus Christ over and over and over again. And then, at the same time, then we read in our text, then released he Barabbas unto them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. And here is now the comfort, the great comfort of that true church of God. The true church of God who are as guilty even as this Barabbas. That spotless Lamb of God condemned with the righteous sentence of this Barabbas. He in whom we read over and over again had no sin. There was nothing that they were able to bring against him rightly, given over to scourging and to death. Through all the perversion of justice that has happened in these moments, it is God the Father who is bringing this to pass. Christ cannot be killed by a mob of people, no. But the Lord Jesus Christ, he is going to receive the sentence of a judge, because God, as a judge, he is working through the judge in this world. So it is actually the sentence of the Father that is coming upon his son, that he is sentencing him to death. And it is the voice of the Father through the office of the judge that this, my son, he is innocent, that he has no sin in him, and yet I condemn him unto the death of the cross. Oh, that sentence pronounced by a judge of this world, that the church of God may hear the voice of the Father in the condemnation of his innocent son. Thus God himself condemning his son as the innocent one and making him so clearly the fulfillment of the Old Testament promises and the Old Testament types. That Passover lamb that was to be slain for the children of Israel's sake, that was to be without spot and without blemish. Oh, so clearly is his death, not for himself, but as an atonement for a guilty people. So that what Barabbas deserves, Christ receives, a scourging and the death of the cross. And why? So that what Christ has merited, Barabbas may receive. But that we hope to consider after we sing. Psalter 223, all stanzas, where'er his creatures gather, the unseen God is near. Let rulers fear their ruler, their judge let judges fear. How long, ye earthly judges, will ye pervert the right? How long shall wicked persons have favor in your sight? 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 223. Thank you. Then released he Barabbas unto them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Our third thought, Barabbas' substitute, scourged and crucified for his release. In congregation, Barabbas also once stood before Pilate. He stood before Pilate in judgment for his crimes, and he has also received a sentence. Probably he has received the sentence of death. Have you also stood once before your judge? And have you ever had to do with the law in the court of God? Barabbas, he is now placed in prison for some time while he awaits the execution of his sentence. Prison, that is a place of meditation. What else can you do in prison? There a person can think about his life. He can think about his past. He can think about the reason, the cause that he is in this place. We read of a Manasseh. He was in the prison. And there he has also considered. And there he has come to know that the Lord is God. And there he has come to weep over his own sin. Was this the case with Barabbas? We do not know. We are not told anything about this man. We know he has a dark future, because before him is death, probably as the other thieves, and that it is going to be soon for him the death of the cross. Congregation, have we ever stood before our judge? If the Lord has converted us, then we have had to do with the law. Because when the Lord brings his law home, then we see that it is a judgment that we have to stand in. That we have to die. And when we die, then we are going to stand before God in judgment. And what is now the state of man after the fall? What is state? What does that mean? That means, how is it concerning us and God's law? That is our state. That means we are either guilty or we are innocent or acquitted. Thus, when the Lord has come in our life, then we have had something to do with God's law. That we have felt something, that we need to stand and give an answer to God concerning every one of his commandments. How have you experienced that then to be for yourself? Have you also come in that state of guilt concerning that law? Barabbas and Christ, they have had to come to stand before the judgment seat. There is, of course, a distinction. Have you ever tried then to make it right with that law of God? Have you ever asked the Lord to have patience with you that you may amend your life? Why do persons do such things? You say, because they have a conscience and their conscience speaks. That is true. Our conscience speaks. And yet there is a distinction to be made in that new life. That new life that has a love. And by that love, that new life desires to return again into the blessed communion with God. And when it is wrong with me according to His holy law, what can there be against me but the judgment and the anger and the wrath of God forever and forever? Congregation, how is it going? Does it go forward in your relationship to that law? When you from day to day would fulfill that law, from morning to evening, to be without sin, how does it now go in your life? Does it now go forward that you are encouraged by your obedience? Or does it not go forward? There is also such a distinction in this. Why? Because for God's church it cannot go forward. But there is another people for whom it does go forward. As we read in God's word, all these things have I kept from my youth up. Then it went forward for him. How does it go for you? The law of God, congregation, is so strict. We hear that now from Sabbath to Sabbath day. It is so strict. As James said, he who offends in one point is guilty of all. Or is that not so strict? Children, young people, is it not so strict? How do you see it? Because by nature we see it not so strict. But how is it in true regeneration? Then we see what we call the spirituality of that law. Then it is not only the outward things, but it is in a special way the inward things. The sins of the thought, the sins of the mind, that they are defiling, that I defile myself therewith. And that judge, he is so unflinching. Or is it not so? How do you see him? Because there are those who say he will look through his fingers at my sin. But that is not the work of the Holy Spirit. No, the work of the Holy Spirit is to instruct a man in the true knowledge of God. Then a person sees that great judge, he is so unflinching. And my nature that remains so sinful, that sin increases, or is that not so? What is our experience? How do we see it in our life? For God's children, it goes in the way of impossibility. Does that also go that same way for us? Maybe there are those that say, yes, it's impossible from my side, therefore we do not need to try. Oh, how different it is in that new life. And why? Because not only is there an impossibility, there is also a necessity. The necessity, the desire that I may be reconciled, and the impossibility to be reconciled, these two things working together to make a man to be so despondent. And now, the prison, that is a place of
impossibility. The prison that is a place from which we are not able to deliver ourselves. Or has it ever come to that one point in your life that you are counted with those that go down onto the pit? Or it is in the impossibility that a person sees his need for a Savior. Otherwise, we do not need that Savior. It is in the impossibility that a person sees his need for a surety. May you ever see this need. May you ever feel this need. It is in the impossibility that the Lord is also revealing a surety. Because the Lord is not wasting His grace. No, read Psalm 107. Then we see how that the Lord is going to receive His honor and how that the Lord is going to deliver His own people. And then it is such a great matter in the life of the people when they may receive a promise from the Lord in that impossibility. Jacob comes to his end. He does not know anymore what to do. And finally, Judah comes forward. And Judah says, I will be surety for the lad. Oh, may you ever hear it in your own life that the Lord says, I will stand in the breaches. Fear not. He says, for I have redeemed thee. Or then faith that begins to go out after that surety. How is it then? How is it then in the life of the people? Then sometimes they can so rest in what that surety has spoken. Then sometimes they can sleep so peaceful in the night. And other times, they still fear. And other times, that they cry out unto the Lord, remember, O Lord, that word which upon which Thou hast caused me to hope. And why all this? Why the ups and the downs of that spiritual life? Because they have not yet come into the court. They have not come in the court of their conscience yet before the Lord. Because in the court of their conscience, there is what? There is the law. And in the court, there is also the witnesses. And in the court, Satan is coming as the accuser of the brethren. And when those brethren, they are standing there in their filthy garments. What will you have to say in that place? We read in God's word that there shall not be one answer to 1,000 questions. When we come before that court of the Lord. Oh, there a man learns to agree. He learns to agree with that justice of God, that it is right that the Lord will cast him away. Congregation, what picture do we have here in Barabbas? Barabbas is a condemned man. We do not say anything about the state of Barabbas himself, but we ask what is the picture that God gives to us in His word concerning this Barabbas. There he is. He is condemned. And what is he waiting for? He is waiting for the execution. And while he is waiting for that execution, and from his side, you understand it is finished. There is nothing anymore. There is only guilt.
But now, as he is waiting for his execution, something is happening in the court. Something is happening where that judge is sitting. Something is happening concerning Barabbas. Barabbas' name that is being mentioned there in that court. And that is so completely outside of the jurisdiction of this man. He has nothing to do with it. Justification is a work that takes place outside of man for God's children. But now there comes a moment when he is waiting, and when he hears the footsteps of his executioner who is coming to take him, that he also may receive his just penalty. And when he expects that penalty so justly and rightly to come upon him, then he receives a message. A message. And what is that message? Congregation, that door that goes open and the shackles are loosed and Barabbas is set free. How is that now in the heart of that man? How is it in his heart? God's people, they go from hell into heaven. He does not yet know the fullness of the cause. This he will have to learn. But he receives that complete freedom when he has expected an eternal death. And now the cause that will be learned by God's children more and more in this life. Every one of us, you and me, every single one of us is going to stand in the court. Every one of us have to do with the law of God. Not one accepted. That law binds us. What will be the verdict? What will you have to say? When you stand before God, what does your conscience say? We're going to stand there. Does that verdict come in guilty? Is there the least pang of guilt in our conscience? Then we will come in guilty. When will a person come to know this? We will all come to know it at our death. And we will all come to know it on that last day. Every single one of us. But there are also some who will come to know it beforehand. That verdict, that is guilty. Do you believe it? There are some who will believe it. How will they believe it? They will believe it by a true saving faith, which is evidence of things that we can't see. Cannot see at that court. Cannot see at our judge. But we have the law. And there are some who will come to believe it while they are still in this life. That is a blessed people who come in guilty. And why? Because there is still time to seek a surety. And they will seek him, and they will find him. That is his promise. Those that seek me, he says, they shall find me. And that faith that shall begin to go out after him, and it shall begin to receive already somewhat of that blessed peace and that blessed comfort. And they will all not receive what we see in Barabbas, that full forgiveness and that full freedom. They do not all receive that here below. But one day, they will all receive it. And then they shall know that freedom. And they shall magnify the name of the Lord because of it. Congregation, the law. The law calls us, every one of us, this day, to stand in the court before God. Not one accepted. Oh, seek that surety while he still may be found. Amen. Oh, Lord of heaven and of earth, it is a most serious matter. Thou hast stood in that court. Thou wast declared innocent. We shall be declared guilty. If we have not thee in our heart, we shall be cast out, bound hand and foot into outer darkness. Oh, that we might learn to seek thee. Show us our guilt, that we have to stand before thee. Make it true. Oh, make it a reality for each and every one of us. Seek us out who will never seek after thee. Be with us further in this day. Bring us with desire together again in this afternoon hour. Forgive our many sins. For Jesus' sake, amen. 319, stanzas 1, 3, and 4. Give thanks and praise to God above. And for everlasting is his love. Praise him, ye saints, your Savior, praise, for ever good in all his ways. For time's sake, let's just sing stanzas 3 and 4 in bondage of distress and grief. 3 and 4 of Psalter 319. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.